is his sight to the blind. To go back to what I was talking about in the last episode with this TV show, House of David, if anybody took a chance to watch it, it's just going to enrage you because it makes absolutely no sense. And anytime before shows or before anything historical or biblical, now they have to release a statement before, a disclaimer, saying they look, we are taking artistic license. We know this is not the biblical truth. We know this is not the biblical history with characters and even the regions. But most likely, they are at the point where they know that these people are liars. Why put this show together to talk about the House of David and continually using every other racial image but the Negro? There is power in that. That means they're so scared of us, so scared of the truth, that they do not want you Negroes to awaken to who you truly are. There is power in that. If you truly wanted to piss this matrix off, you would come back to these laws, these statutes, commandments, and you would live it loudly and proudly in front of them, knowing that they have no power over you. Instead of becoming a punchline to their psyops and rituals. Now, in this show, they don't even call on the name of Yahuwah. They don't even say God. Well, they say God and Lord sometimes, but they say the term Hashem, which it just means the name. And in the last episode, the Philistines, which is played by a Arab man, and we know that the Philistines were Hamites. We know that Goliath was a Hamite. So they were African, black. So in order to take you away from the truth that the children of Yashar are actually a Negroid race, they would have to make everything black. I mean, everything white or Arab or Middle Eastern, even on down to Egypt. They have to make everything very light for it to make sense. So the Philistine king comes to the son of Saul and says, where is Yahweh? They know what the name is. They know what the, at the end of the day, they know what the name is. You have to know what the name is and the pronunciation of it in order for it to give you a perverted version of it or a manipulated version of it. They have to know it. It's not something that they don't know and hopes that they slip up and say the right word. No, they know exactly the name that they can't use. They don't have power to use that name because if they use it, then immediate destruction comes upon them. That's how in fear of the Most High they are. They can blaspheme Christianity, religions, all they want. They can say God, they can say Lord, they can do all they want, but they dare not say the Most High's true name, and they dare not say the Son's true name. So how much power do you think this system or this matrix actually has on its inhabitants that follow and are under the seal of Yahuwah Elohaka? You really shouldn't have no fear whatsoever on the coming days at end. You shouldn't. Truly, you shouldn't. Because if these people were so big and bad, and if Satan or Samael was so big and bad, they would be able to be saying this name to the cows coming or to the red heifer be sacrificed and just pollute it and just say, he ain't going to do this. He not going to do that. But they don't ever do it. They have to talk subliminally. If they really were the Antichrist, or they really want to be against the Most High, even when we get to the Antichrist, you think that he's really he has the power to say the Most High's name and say the Son's true name and then blaspheme against it? Now he may erect himself as an image, as a god, as the beast, but how much power do you think he truly has over his own mouth? So the Philistine king says Yahweh. He don't say Yahuwah. He don't even say Yahweh. He says Yahweh. And the son of Saul says, we don't even say his name. Which is weird to me because that's exactly what the Yasharel, what the Israelites were doing back then. Anytime they needed to call on the Most High, they would use his name. I'm pretty sure they knew his name. He revealed it to him. Even in scripture, it says that I will reveal my name unto them. After he was saying, I ain't, just tell them I am. When they got to the promised land, they started realizing what his name was. or is. And then the whole thing about Saul being king and this long drawn out episodes of him going through this demonic stronghold, this demonic oppression because he didn't kill Amalek, and Amalek was supposed to be some high form witch or priestess or warlock or whatever. It just made it look stupid. It made it look like Saul was weak and he was being tormented by the unclean ruach or the demonic ruach of Amalek. And so his wife was almost playing more of a king role than she was actually a queen. And they like to do that because, you know, in Judaism, it's the lineage is through the mother. So they like to, even in biblical times, they in these stories, they like to raise up the women as if the women were equal to the men in the kingdom. Enough for them to have power, to have a say-so. I don't really think that's how it went. Because you rarely ever hear anything about the queens of the kings in Yasharel. You very rarely ever hear anything about them. But when the enemy likes to make these biblical stories, they have to insert as if the woman has so much power that she can enforce the laws of Yasharel or the laws of Moses. It was just stupid. I mean, it was done as far as graphics, as far as color, as far as the artistic value of it is top tier. But as far as telling the basic storyline, it's corrupted. They try to make David an outcast, as if he was just some outcast that nobody wanted. That he didn't listen to his mother, he didn't listen to anybody. He just was a rebel all on his own. It made him look like he was just weak. And then he had to gain strength with all that. It was stupid. But again, that's what happens when you let enemies teach our history or educate us on anything biblical. And Amalek also means blood drinkers, which I knew that already, but they mentioned that in the show. And the reason why I mentioned that is because you have to know that if you raise your children on drinking blood, and I'm assuming that they had to have been given children blood to drink or unclean stuff to eat and drink, that it wouldn't somehow affect the children themselves or affect the bloodline or affect the semen or affect the birth process. You would have to think so, right? And this is why the Most High said, I want cattle, I want babies, I want women, I want everybody removed. I want everybody destroyed. And it had me thinking about Christian Rock, the island, one of the island boy twins, and Alexis Skye. All of them have children that have alcohol fetal syndrome. Now, Christian Rock, she's been parading that child in front of everybody as if that child is completely normal. We know that child is not normal. Then she all of a sudden turns to Christianity and started performing at a church. And then having this child in the open, you could tell by the child's face and his eyes that he don't know where he's at. He looks like it's blind. You could tell straight on that this baby has problems. And it's because she's been bragging about and showing through social media that she's been drinking through her pregnancy, partying through her pregnancy. And the same thing that goes for Alexis Skye. Making the excuse, well, I didn't know I was pregnant. I didn't know where. I mean, you were bouncing between two dudes and you don't know which dude impregnated you. And then the whole time you're partying. You're showing up to host, you know, VIP parties, and you're drinking, and Lord knows what else you're doing, and smoking hookahs and all that. And it shows in the baby. The baby is obviously affected by that. But of course, she's using this, and just like Christian Rock, using this for sympathy. As like, oh, all of a sudden, I'm changing my life over. So now I have sympathy for me and my child. And a lot of people are like, no, we're not having sympathy for you. You decided to do this, and now you know the effects of it. But this Alexis Skye girl, she's still doing photo shoots with her child. It is more or less about her than it actually, you know, getting the help her child needs. It's truly pathetic. And you would think that if there were a tribe on their own, and their thing was not drinking blood, but just always drinking alcohol, because I'm pretty sure they had alcohol in biblical times. If they had wine, they had strong drink as well. And you just imagine if they had a tribe of Alexis guys and Christian rocks, that the Most High said, I want these people off my land. You would understand why he wanted the children and the mothers removed also. Because who's going to take care of these kids with alcohol fetal syndrome? They basically destroyed already through the womb. What would be the who was going to take care of them? And then more and more you would let that go on you, it would make it seem that you're hospitable to that type of behavior. That I'm going to still drink and have strong drink and mess up my womb, and I know that the Israelites are going to take care of it. They're going to harbor my child if anything happens. This is the reason why the Most High eradicated the Canaanites. Eradicated or wanted to eradicate all of the Amalekites. Because these same behaviors is what we're seeing today. A lack of self-control. A lack of responsibility. Especially women when they have children in the womb. And this is talked about in Enoch. It says women, mothers will forsake their babies. They will forsake them. Women are dying on the operating tables to get body surgery. Dying in halfway houses or rehab houses that's not even licensed. There was a woman, 28 years old, who had just had a newborn, a one-year-old, came to Miami from Nevada. And took her or brought her 19-year-old sister with her to get work done. Now, it probably was liposuction or something like that, enough where either she got it in her face or got it in her body, and then they gave her medicine or gave her something or Percocet, and that medicine killed her. And of course, they weren't going to show you what actually killed her because obviously you got to protect the pharmaceutical companies. But she died on the operating table. 28 years old with a newborn, trying to get surgery. So the days of Noah are here. And women don't want to talk about their issues because it's so quick to make men, well, talk about the men. This is what men are doing. This is what men do this. Men do this. Like, women are still living off this. Let me get revenge off the men that treated me horribly and not actually confront the men themselves, but they pass it on to the men they are around or the men they see in media. And this is what this generation and this media is doing to women. Hey, remember how this man treated you? You need to get back. You need revenge. Oh, it's about you now. You've been so oppressed. You've been so oppressed all your life. You have had no rights. Now it's time for you to, you know, get back. And so women are taking it above and beyond, and don't understand that they're tearing up their womb, tearing up their bodies, tearing up their ruach, to where their decisions, their consequences are being laid bare in front of their feet. And I think this is what the Most High wants. The Most High raised up a lot of men in these last days. He raised up women too, but he's raising up men in these last days. So now that women are preoccupied with doctrines on top of doctrines on top of doctrines, and they have nowhere to go but to the Most High. And I said this before in this show. I said, when it comes to specifically Negroes in this country, we have to hit every branch on the way down to the Most High. And I think women right now are going through doctrine, are going through branches of doctrines all the way down till they fall on their face. All the way down till they fall on their face. So that's why I press a sense of urgency. If you don't understand that you need to correct your ruach right now, not when, okay, I'll stop when I'm in my 30s. I'll stop when I'm 35. I'll stop when I'm in my 40s. You don't have time to stop. You don't have time to pick a point in your life where you're going to slow down. You really don't. The way things are happening and how fast they're happening, you don't have time to make up in your mind, okay, I'm going to get at this certain age or this part in my career, I'm going to stop and slow down. You may not even get that chance. You might not even get it. There's kids, there's children right now, they're not even getting that chance as we speak. The kid, which I think is hilarious, well, to me, this whole Carmelo Anthony situation. Carmelo Anthony just just being selected to be a part of the Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Around the same time that a kid in Frisco, Texas, where he spells his name with a K and not a C, Carmelo, it's still the same name, Carmelo Anthony, stabs some kid in the chest who had a twin. That don't disturb y'all a little bit? Not the act itself, but just the timing of it. That some kid, from 17-year-old kid, stabs some white kid at a track meet who had a twin. His name is also Carmelo Anthony. I don't know much about that case. All I can tell you is that supposedly Carmelo Anthony was in the wrong section at this high school track meet. And these two kids, from what I've read, they come from some racist background or what have you, or been known to post something, you know, racially offensive on their social media platforms. And they try to get the kid to move, and they picked up his book bag to move him. And then he brought out a weapon and stabbed him. Now everybody's making a big to-do about it. And like I said before, this system is so predictable. They know exactly how to get Negroes up in arms or get races up in arms. They do. If you look at the Final Four, if you look at the NCAA championships, they literally, in my opinion, they literally had Juju Watkins take a fall. You know how she took a fall? She took a fall when it was 4 minutes and 44 seconds left. And I think it was the first quarter. And I've been telling you through numerology that 444 is Masonic, Lucifer, and also means Jesus, but that's in the Sumerian cipher. But it was a reason for that. I mean, she had just grabbed her knee, but before that, she was sitting next to Jaden Daniels. That was even more random and odd. They both shared the similar colors as far as uniforms. Jaden Daniels was knocked out of the playoffs, so he didn't make it to the championships. But Juju Watkins is in the midst of the playoffs for basketball, and he ends up sitting next to her, and then his mom comes and sits next in between them to make it look like it was a thing. Like, why would Jaden Daniels be there? It was just an odd situation for them two to start talking. And then the day after that, she tears up her knee, or supposedly tears up her knee. That means she's removed so that the girl from UConn, Paige Buchers, she's risen up. And then she ends up going to the championship and beating USC. But before, she lost to USC in December by 2. And then what makes her situation so special is because her dad and her stepmother is black. So they became a blended family. She came in with a son, and Paige's father obviously comes in with her. And then they have a small child together, a young boy together. Then if you look at the Florida Gators and the Houston Cougars, the kid who took the final shot, or he didn't take the final shot, he just jumped up in the air and then dropped the ball because he basically didn't want to do an up and down. His father played pro ball or overseas ball for Tel Aviv in Israel. So he's basically an American and Israeli citizen. He has dual citizenship. That should already pique your interest right there. Like how they manipulating these games. Because the last shot he took, he could have just jumped into the kid that now everybody's talking about. He could have easily pump faked him, jumped into him. He would have had 3 free throw shots. And this kid's a prolific scorer for the Houston Cougars. He jumped up, dropped the ball, and then that was it. And then he committed 2 turnovers back-to-back before that. So I know they rigging these games this way. And then the kid that everybody's talking about for the Florida Gators, the light-skinned kid, I think his number's like number 1. I can't think of his name right now. But he comes from an interracial family. His dad is black. His mother is white. And I said this before. Since Super Bowl, or since the year started, we knew that 42 and 59 was going to be like numerical racism. So everything was going to be about black and it was going to be about white. And it just, it basically confirms it. Two star athletes, two championship star athletes come from interracial backgrounds. And now we have an interracial episode with this Carmelo Anthony kid. So now we're going to get Negroes riled up, white folk riled up. They're all on Twitter or X, you know, showing pictures and, you know, showing their think tanks and explanations of this kid's going to go to jail. This kid deserves to die. This kid doesn't deserve GoFundMe money. Like it's all strategized, all manipulated, all put together to get people to dial into their, you know, their rage bait. That's all it is. But at the end of the day, people are not getting a chance to see 18, is my point. They're not getting a chance to see 20. So people think they have time to go do whatever they want and then come back to the Most High. You don't have that time. Look at the people that got killed in Dominican Republic at a nightclub. And you know you heard me say this before. You know you heard me say this before. Some people don't understand that they're on their last drink. You're on your last night out. You're on your last day at the bar. You're on your last smoking of the weed. You're on your last drug use. You're on your last. I came to find out that Dominican Republic, or the father of Dominican Republic, was a Freemason. Was a Freemason. I think his name is Juan Pablo Duarte. Juan Pablo Duarte, the father of the Dominican Republic, was a Freemason. So you know anything that happens down there on that type of scale, it has to be Masonic. Ruby Perez, the artist that was killed while he was performing merengue songs, was a Freemason. You see the video of the roof starting to collapse. Now, how did this miss building codes or inspections or violations of this building? The roof just collapsed on itself. And then baseball players were there. And we just started the baseball season in March 27th. Politicians were also there, which I think this is who they actually wanted to get. It's almost like the Titanic story, how they all sink a whole entire ship to get five bankers who were against the Federal Reserve. They sunk an entire ship just to get five bankers who were against the Federal Reserve. And what's more, the Most High allowed it to happen. And it says in the Book of Enoch, they trusted in their carnal revelry. So destruction was nigh, or judgment was nigh, because they trusted in their carnal revelry. How many people you know or think that was in that nightclub at that time, Jet Set nightclub, that had Jesus on the brain, that were in religions? And you know, Dominican Republic is probably 80% or 90% Catholic. Why didn't their God save them? Why didn't they get end time revelation of their own life? Why didn't they have the Ruach to save themselves? Why didn't the Most High care enough about them to warn them that they shouldn't be in a nightclub? Because he don't care. You know what it says about reprobates. Since you reject knowledge, he will also reject you and hand you over to a reprobate mind. And then it's even worse for those who know and understand the wisdom and knowledge of the Most High and then turn your back on it to go through other doctrines or go through your own way or know it and hear it and still don't take it serious enough to change your life or change your actions. Because that's what's going to actually save you in these end times. You don't understand that they are taking out anybody and everybody who is connected to the system. And religion is part of that system. And people don't see it. This place is like a jail cell. Except people don't know they're in a jail cell because they're sitting too close to the bars. Yeshayahu 38, 1 through 6. in those days was Jezekiah sick unto death, and Yeshayahu the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus says Yahuwah, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. This is the Most High telling his king, someone who rules over Yasharel, set your house in order, because you will die and not live. Then Yeshayahu turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Yahuwah and said, Remember now, O Yahuwah, I beseech you. Now have I walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Yeshayahu wept sore. Then came the word of Yah to El Yeshayahu, saying, Go and say to Yeshayahu, Thus says Yahuwah, the Elohai of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Ashur, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto you from Yahuwah that Yahuwah would do this thing that he has spoken. Now, before I get into the thing that he has spoken as to be a sign unto him, when has the Most High ever hearkened to a man, any other man outside the nation of Yasharel to do any of these miracles and wonders? He has not. When has anybody asked the Most High, please do not kill me. Please don't unalive me. Please don't let this sickness take me over. And he'll give them 15 more years. So it would make sense to me that if I'm living righteous, if I'm living perfect, if I'm living in truth before the Most High, I can make such prayer. I can make such a claim if it meets his will. So many people die for no apparent reason, or die from sicknesses, or die for a 99.9% survival rate virus. And they can't reach out to the Most High like this, because they are alienated from him. We, since we know the truth and have the understanding and knowledge of the Most High, Yahuwah and his son Yahusha, we have a cheat card in our pocket. We have favor in our pocket. We got the Uno draw four card in our pocket when it comes to Yah. Because he won't do this for everybody. And here, if we want eternal life, we would have to walk the same way Yeshayahu had to walk, which was in truth, a perfect heart, and done that which is good in his sight. This is without religion. This is without doctrine. This is without being haughty or high-minded. Perfect in heart. This is free and purged from this world. That's what perfect heart is. And the sign, he says, Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the steps which has gone down in the sundial of Ahab, 10 steps backward. So the sun returned 10 steps by which steps it was gone down. So the Most High rewind time. Oh, put the sun back 10 steps, just as he put the sun in the sky for a longer period of time when Joshua had to destroy the Canaanites, or a tribe of the Canaanites. He has not done that with anybody. We are the only nation walking this earth that the Most High has basically stopped time for and rewind time for. There has not been any other nation, not any other people that he has done this for. And we are completely ignorant to his power. We can't even go to him for little things and think the little things he's going to be too busy for. If it meets his will, it meets his purpose. If it's going to shame the adversary, we should be running to the Most High. Especially when we know what he can do and what he has done for us. But the luminaries he created, the chariots that sit on these luminaries, They go around and around. He told these luminaries, go back. The chariots that these luminaries sit in, because if you read the book of Enoch, he talks about these chariots and how they're being dragged in their respective seasons, respective orders. For us, he told that chariot, back up 10 steps. And there again, that number 10. It means something to the Most High. And to this day, I'm still trying to find out what that actually means. But everything for him is in the order. It's not out of order. It's only as you can expect exactly what he's going to say, and it repeats itself over and over again, so he lets you know that he is not random. To the uninitiated, to those who have no knowledge and understanding, it seems random. But for us, we see it as being right on time. That's why I feel like that whole thing that we used to say in church, he's never there when you need him, but he's always on time. I think we say that just to not have a real understanding of his power and understanding of his timing. But we understand it through a spiritual aspect. And if you read scripture long enough, you start to understand that the words that were coming out of our grandparents' mouths at the time when they were in church echo what we're going to end up finding out about today. Because we are reading it with new eyes and a new ruach and a new heart. We're not reading it from a place of captivity or a place of blindness. But even through that blindness, our ancestors, our forefathers knew something. They felt something. We just have the answer for it. So I think it's profound that the Most High said, I'm going to push this back 10 steps. And I had just talked about 10, the number 10 in the last episode. But here's the thing. When I was thinking about Yezekiyahu, and the Most High told him, get your house in order, which means Yezekiyahu had sons. He had children. And so the 15 years that he had added on to him, did he prepare his house? Did he get everything in order? Because if you go to chapter 39, it didn't go as planned as what you think it would go. You would think like he got 15 years, he would be able to have abundance, have victory, have glory over his sickness. His children would, you know, be righteous and he wouldn't have to do anything. That he set his house in order for 15 years and he can just rest in glory and peace. But it didn't happen that way. Yeshayahu 39:2-8. And Yezekiyahu was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices, the precious ointment, and all house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Yezekiyahu showed them not. Now, this is referring to the king of Babel. The king of Babel knew that Yezekiyahu was sick and now has recovered. So, obviously, he wanted to come to his house and wanted to make sure, or check on him to make sure everything was okay. And this man bragged. He wanted to show them everything that's in his house. He wanted to show him his gold vessels. He wanted to show him his treasuries, his silver, his prized possessions. That's like today. Like somebody knew you were sick and you know you got better. They're like, oh, they're coming to check on you. And then when they come to check on you, you showing them everything you got. You're not showing them your good health. You just showing like, look what's in my house. I got this big screen TV. I got about 5 PlayStations. You know, I got gold here. I got gold walls here. I got a whole gold toy, like anything. Like, look at my cars. I got this type of car. That's what he did. Then came Yeshayahu the prophet unto the king Yezekiyahu and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto you? And Yezekiyahu said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babel. Then said he, what have they seen in your house? And Yezekiyahu answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I not showed them. Then said Yeshayahu to Yezekiyahu, hear the word of Yahuwah Sabaoth. Man, anytime you hear that from a prophet, you just know your stomach going to be turned upside down. Your heart going to be turned upside down. Imagine today that a prophet during this time just randomly came up to you. Who's at your house? And you tell him, oh, this person was at my house, that person was at my house, this is who my friend's with. And he goes, this is what the Most High Yah says to you. And you should know that it is going to be something that's going to turn your whole nervous system upside down. Behold, the days come, that all that is in your house and that which your fathers have laid up in your store until this day shall be carried to Babel. Nothing shall be left, says Yahuwah. And of your sons that shall issue from you, which you shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babel. Bruh, he did not set his house in order. Even in sickness, he didn't set his house in order. And now that he was given 15 years, he still did not set his house in order. And he had to think in his brain, I got time. Y'all gave me 15 years. I'll get my house in order in 10 years. I'll get it done in 14 years. The Most High gave him 15 years and still told him, look, you didn't get your house in order, or I'm assuming you must didn't get your house in order, because now your children are going to go into captivity and become eunuchs. They're going to get their balls snatched from them while they go into captivity. Because you let a heathen race, you let the enemy come and see what's all in your house. Because you think they are your friends. Take that message how you will. You can't let everybody in your house. You can't let everybody know what you got. Then said Yeshayahu to El Yeshayahu, good is the word of Yahuwah, which you have spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. That means if he's saying this, he must have known his children were corrupted. He must have known that he couldn't get his house in order with his children. Or he knew that he wasn't going to prepare his house by getting 15 years. That is important to understand. We don't have time. And even if the Most High gave us time and he's giving us grace right now, we abusing the grace period. Or I ain't saying we are, but most people are abusing the grace period and thinking they have time. And if you look in the news, if you look at the tragic deaths of people that happened, they don't have time. And it's more people dying almost the same exact way that you've seen in the media. There aren't in media. There aren't being reported. They are dying every single day. Don't let, oh, it's only happening in the media. Don't think it's not happening all around the world every second of the day. People are dropping like flies every single day. People are born with infirmities every single day because of the actions and consequences of their parents, of their forefathers. They pass these curses on. They pass these behaviors on. So to think in your brain like, oh, I got time. You don't have time. You don't. I mean, you can enjoy the time you have left. But like my mom used to always tell me, we're living on borrowed time. Borrowed time because we are bought with a price. So how we walk and where we walk is starting to come to fruition. That reaping and sowing is coming fast. Before, people used to do all their sowing of wickedness decades ago and then reap the consequences later on when they're in their 70s or their 80s. Now you've seen young people in their 20s, even in their teens, sowing unrighteously and reaping it before they hit 21. What are you doing? And I get it. You want to have fun. You want to enjoy your youth. Everybody else is enjoying their youth because you don't see judgment touch certain people. That is the wrong mental to have, to compare yourself with the unrighteous are doing it. So, well, they ain't getting touched, that I can do it. Well, I can sneak and do a bar for a quick drink and then come out of it. I can go to a concert here and there and, you know, as long as it's not demonic and come out of it. It doesn't work that way. Because you're going to be telling yourself this every other concert. You're going to be telling yourself this after every other drink. Well, I ain't had a drink in a long time. Maybe this, I could step out right now. This is a long time since I smoked weed. Let me just for a little bit right now. You don't know what is being prepared for you when you turn back. You don't know what's being prepared for you if you follow law, statutes, commandments. Imagine losing blessings. Imagine, we don't have prophets that come up to him and say, hey, now hear the word of Yah. We don't have that. We only have the Ruach HaKodesh to tell us, if we stay on this path, we will be blessed for our benefit and to shame our enemies and our adversaries. We don't get to have that. We don't get to, hey, this is what's going to happen to you if you stay on this path. That's the whole beauty of the test. The beauty of the walk is not to know what you're going to get, but have faith that the more you walk this path, the more you walk the narrow path, you know you're going to be rewarded for it. And when you start turning away or you turn your back and go the other way, you're not going to get much of a warning either. You may get, what, 3 warnings? If that, you may not even get that. And just watch you slip into a hole. And that's it. I could just imagine when you read the book of Ezra, I think it's chapter 7, when it talks about these 7 stages or 7 phases that the Ruach goes through after death. It says that the day of your death, depending on how you live, you see the face of the one you either served or you see the one that you rejected. You see the Most High's face personally. Then you wander the earth for 7 days. Now you know that you can't change your outcome. You know how you lived is going to haunt you. You can't pray, you can't ask for forgiveness, you can't repent, nothing. For 7 days, you just wander before you go into Sheol. Now, you can go to Abraham's side, or you go to the other side to be tormented till your judgment. But those who are righteous and are at peace with how they live their life, they get to see the face of the Most High and get to wander 7 days in peace, happiness. And then go see Abraham after that 7 days is completed. To think that you know that you did all you could in this life to worship and praise the Most High. And know that you left it all on the field. As coaches used to tell athletes, leave it all on the field. This is almost the mentality you have to have. We don't have another chance at this. So the works or the deeds that you do in this lifetime, allow them to follow you for those 7 days. Do not let unrighteousness, ignorance, haughtiness, high-mindedness, arrogance follow you into 7 days of destruction or 7 days of mourning for yourself, mourning for your Ruach that you can't get back. We got one shot at this to get to forever. That's it. And time is being sped up where we can't even really fully enjoy this life as we want to. That's because we have another life to get after this one. If you're not enjoying certain things in this world, you're supposed to not enjoy it. You're supposed to be crabby because you're not allowing to enjoy certain things that you used to enjoy that everybody else has seemed to enjoy. They are having their heaven now, which is short. It's a short heaven here. We have to go through the growing pains now so we can get our forever and forever and forever and forever, ever, forever, ever. I'll see you on Sunday.